of the Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Ed Bascom's ranch house is about a three-hour ride from town, so around about 8 o'clock, I figure I was halfway there. The moon was just beginning to silver up the top of Apache Hill. I hadn't been too sure of the trail, but now that things were lightening up some, I gave Scarlet a nudge. Come on, let's go on. It was real sandy country. A clump of purple sage every now and then, once in a while a pine tree or two, and we must have covered about 4 miles, and then we came to a little creek. From there on, the trail started to wind into a kind of a jagged ravine with a couple of tall yellow rocks at the mouth, sort of sticking up straight in the air like a couple of fingers. We were just getting past those rocks when I heard what sounded like about a half a dozen horses coming toward me.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, Scar.
I pulled up and waited. Oh.
Again?
What are you doing out here, Britt?
Oh, I just thought I might come out and take a look at the 77.
Some other time.
You, in a hurry to go somewhere?
That's right, we're in a hurry.
Oh. Oh, hello, Clint.
Come on, Gid, we ain't got all night.
Right.
You mind telling me where you're heading, Gid?
Look, I offered you a job this afternoon. You turned me down. I don't see where anything I do from here on in is your concern.
No, it sure isn't. But I was just noticing, and it looks to me like you've got the whole crew with you.
What if I have?
Well, it must be something kind of important to take you all the way out here, away from the ranch this time of night.
We're going to burn out a bunch of Stephen rustlers. Is that important enough for you, Ponsett?
Clint!
Well, you might as well know it. You can't do nothing to stop us.
What happened, Ged? You weren't planning anything like this when I talked to you a little while ago.
Clint found 5 of my steers over in a canyon behind one of them farms.
Well, maybe your steers got lost. Maybe they just strayed over that way.
And hobbled themselves?
Well, even so, it seems to me like this is a matter for the law.
There ain't no sheriff in Halfway Creek. You know that, Britt.
Well, there's a sheriff at Bixby Falls. Somebody go over and get him.
You get him if you want him, Ponsett. We got other things to do.
No.
Come on, Ged.
No. I wouldn't let Clint hurry me if I was you, Gid.
What difference does it make?
It might make a lot of difference. Seeing as how those farmers were talking about paying you back if you go after them.
I'd sure like to know what they could do.
Well, they sort of had an idea that they could burn down the 77.
What? Well, they sure must want to get themselves killed.
Uh-huh. It doesn't look to me like there'd be anybody there to kill them, Sutton.
Look, he's lying. He's just trying to stall it.
Do you think I'm lying, Gid?
Turn around, boys. We're going back to the ranch.
Well, you're crazy, Gid. Them nesters wouldn't be fooling.
I said turn around.
Now, let's go.
Well, I watched them for a minute or two, moving along through the ravine, heading back to the 77. I could hear Clint arguing with Gid, and Gid didn't seem to be paying much attention to him. Then I swung Scar around toward Halfway Creek. Must have been about 30 minutes later when we came down to a narrow stretch of trail that twisted down the side of the cliff. Easy, easy, boy. Easy. The moon was sliding under a thick milk-white cloud, and the rocks and the trees started fading into night shadows. For a minute or so, everything got real still. Even the crickets. Somebody else was taking the same trail. Sounded like he was following me. I got a kind of a crickly feeling across the back of my neck. I started wondering maybe Clint Sutton. I twisted around to see if I could get a look. I had to squint my eyes, but finally I made out the shape of a horse about 40 feet back. He was just standing there, nibbling on a couple of tufts of grass. Wasn't anybody in the saddle. And right then, the cloud over the moon started skidding away, and the trees began coming back to size. I was just about to give Scar a touch of the spur when I saw him, crouching low behind a clump of pines. I saw something else, too, a little glint of metal. Whoever it was had a gun.
I jerked out of the saddle and hit the ground. Looked around for cover. His aim was close. It was too darn close. Well, it couldn't be sudden. I knew Clint's style of gunplay. He might miss one shot, and he wouldn't miss twice. And then I spotted a little gully a few feet to my left, and I crawled toward it, keeping as low as I could. I was almost there before he had a chance to fire again. When he did, I started rolling, and I tumbled down into the draw. I took out my gun. I was hoping he'd think he'd hit me, but his bullet had sent me over the side. And I couldn't hear him move. I pressed flat, and I pulled up behind a couple of big tumbleweeds. I sort of cut down my chance of him spotting me. He was coming now. He was going to be at the edge of the gully in a couple more steps. I shoved my gun up and sort of gauged where I thought he'd show. Then a leg came into sight. Not more than 6 feet away. And then his body swung up into view. And just before he fired, he went down on his knees fast. I swung out of the way and his bullet cut through one of the tumbleweeds. I gave it a shove and the wind sort of caught it. He fired again. But he wasn't firing at me now. He was firing at the weed. And he had to rise up into sight to get aim. Yeah, my bullet slapped him on the shoulder, and for a minute he sort of hung in midair and teetering on the edge of the draw. And then he pitched forward and toppled down beside me. And I turned him over and got a look at his face.
What
the thunder are you trying to do, Roof? You should have been able to recognize me. It wasn't as dark as all that.
I recognized you, Ponce.
What?
You shouldn't have meddled in this. Gid would have burned us out if it hadn't been for you stopping him.
Well, you wanted him to burn you out?
It's going to happen anyway, ain't it? Sooner or later.
Well, not if Gid isn't forced into it.
Big ranchers don't need no forcing.
What are you talking about? I don't understand you, Roof. It was your farm he was going to burn. You're talking like that. You hoped it would happen.
You think I care about that farm? I had me a farm once down in Texas. Real good soil, brown, soft, rich, plenty of water, too. Man could grow anything on that land.
Well, what happened to it?
Well, there was a ranch, bigger than Gid's outfit even. But it wasn't big enough. Not big enough to suit the fellow owned it. He kept stretching out, crawling down from the hills, moving his fences closer and closer to... One day, they was right up against my property. He offered to buy me out. He offered me good money, but it was my farm. I didn't want to sell, no matter what he was willing to pay me.
Here, come on. I'll pull out your shirt, too. Try and see if I can get that bleeding to stop.
Yeah.
You think you'll be able to ride?
I don't know. Give me a couple of minutes.
Oh, sure. Well, go on. Now, you were telling me about your farm down in Texas.
Ain't much more to tell. I wouldn't sell it. Nancy, she was my wife. She told me I was wrong. I'd have to give in, but I didn't listen to her. I should have listened and burned us out.
I see.
I wasn't there when it happened. I was in town. Nancy, she tried to stop him. He killed her.
Well, I'm sorry, Lovett.
He killed her and left her there in the house while they burned it. Couldn't even give her a decent burial. There was...
Now, take it easy, Ruth.
Don't matter what becomes of me, Ponset, not anymore. After Nancy... Well, afterwards, I come up here to New Mexico. Figured maybe I could start over, maybe things would be different, but there wasn't no different. There's always a ranch and a fella like Gid Baskin to shove you around. I watched him. Watched him spreading out clear to Apache Hills, and then when he couldn't go no further in that direction, I knowed he'd be coming my way. Well, I wasn't just going to sit around and wait for him like I'd done before.
So you stole Gid's cattle. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't have nothing to lose. I was going to be burned out anyways. I even took a shot at him, but... Ain't much good with a gun. I guess it kind of showed that tonight.
Well, it wasn't Gid who burned you out down in Texas, Ruth.
Luke was a rancher just like Gid. They're all the same, Ponset, with their grabbing, burning, and killing. I figured if I stirred up enough trouble to force Gid out in the open, maybe then some of the other farmers would come along with me and we'd burn him up. He'd get a taste of his own medicine. I'd be paying Gid back for what he'd done to Nancy.
But, Rufe, I'm trying
to... I can still see how it was that night. Smoke and ashes everywhere. First, I couldn't believe it that they killed her. I started to holler and holler until my throat was so sore the sound just wouldn't come out no more. But she didn't answer me. I thought maybe she'd run off somewhere. They'd scared her and she'd run away. And I saw her. Over behind a pile of smoking timbers. Her clothes was all burned up. That's what he'd done. That's what Gid had done.
That wasn't Gid Bascom. Now, get a hold of yourself.
I've got to make it up for Nancy. I've got to burn the 77.
Well, you're coming to town with me.
Town?
Come on now. Can you stand up?
I guess so. Who are you?
You come along. Now, here, let me give you a hand.
Well, what about Luke Harper?
Luke Harper?
You ain't been listening to me. I told you I've got to get even with Harper for killing my wife. That's what I was going to do tonight, burn down his ranch. Now, I told you.
I know, yeah. Now, you told me. But you just better forget about that for now.
Well, I couldn't forget. Not ever.
Come on, Rube. Come on, you and me are going to town.
Huh?
Here, I'll help you on your horse here. Come on.
Thanks, mister. Thanks a lot. You've been real kind to... Ooh. Funny. There's something wrong with my shoulder. Somebody shot me. Did Luke Harper do that, mister?
Maybe he did, Rube. In a way, maybe he did.
I took Rufe as far as Perry Waddell's house before I went in to get the doc. It looked like Rufe was going to be all right. At least it looked like he'd get over that wound in the shoulder. But whether he'd really ever get well again, I guess even the doctor couldn't tell that. The next morning, Gid Bascom rode into town and found out what had happened. He said he was willing to forget about the stolen cattle and the other trouble Rufe had caused him. And he said he'd get rid of Clint Sutton, too. He didn't come right out and admit it, but I've got a hunch he was kind of sorry that he'd hired Sutton in the first place. It just goes to show you there's differences in ranchers like anything else.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is written by Frank Burtz and is based on a character created by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Lamont Johnson, Gerald Moore, Bob Griffin, Parley Bear, and Howard McNear. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlin, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Hearing Time brings you highlights from the Senate committee hearings tonight on the NBC Radio Network.